Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's on bright, sunny Sunday morning. A great day to spend some time with God, spend some time with His Word, sing to Him, pray to Him, share with Him what's heavy on your heart, share those victories and celebrations that He shared with you this last week with Him. He wants to hear it, and we have a chance to share it with Him today. Today, we also continue our stewardship emphasis during the month of September. That is the privilege we have of using the blessings that God entrusts to us to take care of ourselves, take care of our family, take care of people who are less fortunate than us, and also operate and maintain our ministry and do it on a synodical level as well. To help us continue our stewardship celebration, Pastor Jonathan Stern is here to share the Word of God with us and to share a Bible study presentation with us about stewardship here as well as on a synodical level. So we welcome you, Pastor. We look forward to hearing your message. And then he will introduce himself after the service, and then you can get to know him a little bit better during the Bible study hour as well. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you in the worship booklet. We are revisiting a different version of the song, Create in Me, after the sermon. So maybe you can take a peek at that before we get to that point, so you're ready for that. With those announcements, we thank God for what He has entrusted to us, and we open worship with hymn 240. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil. Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first two lessons this morning have to deal with contentment. That is, using what God has given you to your very best and receiving blessings from God at the level with which He knows is best to bless you. When we find contentment, we know that everything we have glorifies God Everything we do glorifies God. And so we are satisfied with earning an honest living and then enjoying the good things the Lord shares with us. The prophet Amos shares a warning with us using a contemporary example from his day, but I'm sure you will have no problem applying it to your heart, and I will have no problem applying it to mine and my life as well. The first lesson is from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat? Skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. Buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 145. On page 7, we'll sing it together this morning. Psalm 145. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here St. Paul shares with us motivation for contentment and the blessings when God works contentment in our hearts and in our lives. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16. In this lesson, we are reminded that every choice, every decision we make either honors God or it honors someone else. We are either worshiping God or we are worshiping the world. We are telling God, nothing means more to me than you, or we are telling God, the world means everything to me. May Jesus' parable encourage us to worship God and glorify him with our everything. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that, when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit,
suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 421.
Friends, fellow sinners, grace, mercy, and peace is ours in abundance through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And never forget that grace, that mercy, and that peace is ours to share with the people with whom we live, work, and play. This morning, I'd like to direct our hearts and minds to the words of our God that have been given to us through King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. You'll find this printed in your service folder on page 11 if you'd like to follow along. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his or her income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs, and what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realize that it is good and proper for a man or a woman to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives anyone wealth and possessions and enables them to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. So far the word. You'll find the theme for this sermon on page 12, on the top of page 12. Dear friends, we were not redeemed with such piddly things as money and real estate. Rather, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. Perhaps you remember the name or the game called Simon Says. I was surprised to find out how popular that game is still today. In fact, it's played in over 20 countries. The game teaches little ones to listen carefully and closely. For example, Simon says, jump up and down. Okay. Simon says, clap your hands. Simon says, touch your nose. Close your eyes. Gotcha. Gotcha. You're out because I didn't say Simon Says. But who is Simon? And why should anybody listen to this guy called Simon? Well, the truth be told, no one really knows who this Simon is. And yet the name of the game remains Simon Says in many parts of our world except among the Hebrews. Among the Hebrews, they changed the name of the game to the King Says, and the king that they are referring to is King Solomon. And now we're talking. Now we're talking because King Solomon brings with him some awesome credentials. The second wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. In riches and wealth, he was second to none. The Queen of Sheba traveled 1,200 miles to have an audience with him. And after spending time with King Solomon, she was mind-boggled with his words, his wealth, and his wisdom. Solomon drove Egyptian imports. He drank from gold goblets. He used gold utensils. He owned a fleet of ships. And perhaps his crowning jewel was the temple in Jerusalem. To duplicate its grandeur today, that temple would cost $5 billion. So my point is this. Why listen and learn from Simon when we can listen and learn from Solomon? In 936 BC, it was a hot topic. In 2016, it's also a hot topic, money. The ins and outs, the blessings, the curses, the ups and downs, the can and the cannots do of money. This morning, Solomon sorts through this timely topic for us. And so Solomon, not Simon, but Solomon says talk money. And as we do, may the Holy Spirit grant us listening ears and believing hearts. And as we listen and learn from Solomon this morning, he teaches us these two timely and timeless truths. If money manages you, you need help. And for you to manage money, there is help. In North America, we are told that there is only one bottomless lake. Do you have any idea what lake that is and where it's located? It really isn't far from here. The one bottomless lake in North America is Crater Lake in southern Oregon. Okay? Today, right here, right now, there is one bottomless heart. Do you know where it is? And do you know to whom it belongs? Here's a hint. If you take your right hand and put it to the left side of your chest, you got it. You got it. The one bottomless heart belongs to you and to me. By birth, we come into this world with an empty, a void inside each and every one of us. There's a longing to be filled up and to be fulfilled. And then throughout life, we try to fill this emptiness with all kinds of things, ranging from diapers to diplomas, from lust to liquor, from money to monopolies, from self to stuff, from work to wealth. And we always come away empty. It's never filled. By birth, our hearts are a bottomless heart. One time, the millionaire mogul J.D. Rockefeller was asked, how much money does it take to satisfy someone? And his answer was, always a little more. And he's right. Either knowingly or unknowingly, J.D. Rockefeller was quoting these words from King Solomon in our text for this morning. But we begin not with verse 10, we begin with verse 1 in chapter 5. Solomon writes, when you go to the house of the Lord, go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. This is the verse that sets the stage of what Solomon has to teach us concerning money. And please don't think that he's talking about the person sitting next to you. Please don't think he's talking about your boss or your CEO. Please don't think he's talking about the crooked politician or that Wall Street hustler. He's not. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. Whoever loves money never has money enough. And my friends, the problem isn't with money. The problem is with my heart. You see, whatever I set my heart on becomes my God and my goal. And the human heart is not big enough to serve two gods. By birth, our hearts are wishy-washy in not knowing who's who and what's what. By birth, each one of us is like that little child in a toy store. We go from one toy to another, to another, to another. We want all the toys, but we can't have them because we don't have any money to pay for them. What's my problem? Not money, but the love of money. Or more specific, it's called idolatry, greed, selfishness, and discontentment. See? And these sins dethrone God from being number one in my heart. Okay? Sin basically says, God, you get off your throne because I want to be the one to call the shots. I like money. I like what money can do for me. I like what I can buy with money. I like the friends I have when I have money. And I like the opportunities that money gives me. And on top of all of that, money cuts down on half of my worries. It's all true. All of that is true. But money cannot fill the emptiness in your heart or mine. Money cannot forgive us our sins. Money cannot earn God's favor. Money cannot open up heaven to anyone. That's why Solomon says, as number one, money is a loser God. Money is a false God. Money leads to a dead end. In fact, Solomon says, as number one, money brings with it affliction, frustration, and anger. Solomon says, talk money. And as we do, if money manages you, you need help. And that's why today, and that's why every day of our life, our only plea can be, God, have mercy on me, a money lover. Now, instead of having money as number one God and number one goal in our lives, Solomon kind of shifts gear, and he tells us to look beyond money and all created things. He invites us to look to the Creator, who is to be forever praised, from whom all blessings come, including money. We read, "Then I realized that it is good and proper for a person to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives any person wealth and possessions and enables them to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart." My friends, are you tired? Have you grown weary of living in this world called life? Are you tired of living in a dog-eat-dog world? Have your family and friends disappointed you along life's way? Do you have sins of the past and pet peeve sins of the present that pester you? Have you finally come to realize the shallowness and the hollowness of wealth and stuff? Good. Good. Because money lovers like us then are ready to hear about the only remedy that there is. From outside this world comes a voice, a loving voice, that loves you more than mommy and daddy, more than grandma and grandpa, loves you more than all the people that are gathered here this morning. And this voice says to you and to me, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Wonderful. You see, what money can't do, Jesus does do. He fills our greatest longings with his love and his forgiveness. He calms our greatest fears, in fact, all fears, with his abiding presence and his faithful promises. And he gives us our daily needs thanks to his tender mercy and his compassion. And so when Solomon says, talk money, he also says, for you to manage money, okay, there is help. There is help. And that help is found in our Savior. And here's why I say that. For you and me to manage our money in a right way, in a God-pleasing way, Jesus, through Solomon, gives us these three basic truths, three simple truths, okay? Number one, it's not ours. Number two, it's on loan to us. And number three, use it to his glory. Let's take a closer look at these three basic truths. Number one, it's not ours. Oh, yeah. You can get your hands on your savings and checking account, your IRA and TSAs and 401s and 403s. They all have your name on it, but it's not ours. They aren't ours. It all belongs to God, every penny. Solomon talks about our money as being a gift from God, and how much we have or how little we have, how long we get to keep what we have is none of our business. It's his business. Number one, it's not ours. Number two, it's on loan to us. Just like that book from the library. You get that book from the library, you don't want the dog to rip it up, all right? You don't want to spill coffee on it. You don't want to tear the pages because it's not yours. It's on loan to us. The same is true with our money. It's on loan to us. Don't squander it. Don't hoard it. Don't sit on it. It's on loan to us for a time. And number three, use it. Use it in ways that give glory to God and bring blessings to others. These are the three principles that guides us in managing whatever money God has given to you and to me. And that brings us to this important question. How much money does God want back from us? How about this? We give 10% to St. Mark's, 60% for family and fun, right? 15% for taxes, 5% for charities, and then 10% for retirement and that rainy day fund, and that all comes to 100%. And any financial planner would say, hey, that's good planning for you. Solomon says, oh, no, that is not good planning. This is what Solomon says. Solomon says, take everything that you have, everything, and put it into God's lap. All 100%. Put it into God's lap. Because only then are we free from the tyranny of money. Only then are we free to take the first chunk of our paycheck or our pension check and give it back to the Lord. And there may be times when we'll give the Lord more, and there may be times when we'll give the Lord less. But freely then, we can take care of our families. Freely, then, we can take care of the homeless and the helpless. And freely, we can set aside a sum for retirement and for that special vacation. You see, freely we have received, therefore we can freely give. So when it comes to managing your money, when it comes to managing my money, it has nothing to do with human math. Nothing. It has everything to do with God's love in Christ. And you know this love. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. My friends, we are rich. We are rich. With Jesus in your heart and a dollar to your name, you are the wealthiest people in the world. Without Jesus and all the money in the world, you're lost and condemned sinners. Solomon says, talk money, and continue to talk money. When money manages you, be assured that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. And for you to manage money, remember this: he died for all, that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and who was raised again. So, my friends, are you willing to play? Are you willing to live, the king says? Right? Listen closely and listen carefully. Solomon says, amen. I didn't get it. Try it one more time. All right. All right. Are you ready to listen carefully? Are you ready to listen closely? Solomon says, Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Seated while the thank offering is being gathered.
Prayer of the church for this morning is the responsive prayer printed on page 13 in the worship booklet. In our special prayers, we will again include a prayer for our sister, Mrs. Myrtle Brown, as she is continuing to work hard in a recovery center but isn't doing so well at the moment. So her family asked that we would pray for Myrtle. So we will include her in our special prayer. We pray. Eternal God and Father,
We give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and to grow in faith and knowledge, and for occasions to serve and be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod. Jesus Christ, Lord of the Church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us. In the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost, help us to see your face, O Jesus, and serve others as we would serve you. Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect. Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others. Dear Heavenly Father, we entrust to your care this morning and always ourselves, our lives, our health, our wealth, our loved ones, and our families. We especially entrust to your care this morning our sister, Mrs. Myrtle Brown. We ask that you would be with her as physical health fails, increase her spiritual health, help her to see your love for her, remind her of your guidance, remind her of your presence. We ask that you be with her family as they care for her and tend to her as well. Keep them physically strong, keep them close to you. If it is your will that you call Myrtle home, help them to celebrate her victory, and be with them in their sorrow and in their sadness, and be with us too, as we have fond memories of Myrtle and her involvement here at St. Mark's. Please be with our sister in her time of need. Wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever. And Savior, also hear us as we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Continue worship by making our preparations to receive the sacrament. We do so on page 14 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
As part of our closing prayers, we will remember our brother, Mr. Bill Hathill, who will be going in for a surgery on his ankle. I was remiss, I forgot to mention him in those prayers, so we'll include him in our prayers. Following the Song of Simeon on page 17, please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for peace that can only come to you. And in that peace and in the confidence that only comes from you, we commend our brother Bill into your care as he undergoes his upcoming surgery. We pray that you would grant success to the surgery. We pray that that success might be that everything would go well and that Bill's health and strength might be completely restored. Above all, we ask that you would bring about a result and a success that glorifies and honors you. We ask that if it is your will, you bless him, bless those who will care for him, perform the surgery, and that you would bring about a full and speedy, complete recovery. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and
forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 485.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have three announcements to highlight from the announcement sheet. First of all, fall Bible studies start next week. Pastor will be teaching Daniel, Book of Daniel. Mr. Bauer will be teaching Idols We Never Knew We Had. And Mr. Lederman will be teaching the teen class on Alive with Jesus. So please come to Bible class, start out the season participating in that. My second announcement is about a voters meeting next Sunday. It'll be after the late service to approve the church council's recommendation to go with Crossroads Consulting. The leading thought throughout the council's discussion was a concern for a 10-year decline in membership and participation at St. Mark's. If some outside thinking could lend to a turnaround in this trend, it would justify the cost and energy required for this process. Ultimately, the desire to love and serve here at St. Mark's only comes from the love and thankfulness for what our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. And my third announcement is about a Sunday school teacher class, October 5th, 6:30. All current teachers that are teaching or teaching throughout the year, please come to that class. And if anyone is interested in teaching but hasn't, it's a good place to start as well. And that's all I have. Thank you.
That is Mr. Jim Oswald. He is your congregational chairman. Thank you for that. There was one announcement that we weren't able to put into print. There is the LWMS rally has been scheduled, and so you can find that information. I believe it is October 15th, just down the way in Vallejo, so it's not that far away. Do take a look at the LWMS board for information about that rally. And one also keep in mind the Sunday Fun Day opportunity we have to get St. Mark's out into the community. For information about that, you can speak with Mr. Mike Roush. He is here in worship this morning, and he can answer those questions. Those two were late arrivals. So thank you, Mr. O, for doing the announcements. And Pastor, would you, you will be introducing yourself and your ministry, how you serve us during the Bible study hour? Okay. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan Stern, for sharing God's word and an encouragement to look to Jesus for everything, including the financial areas of our lives. Thank you. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out, and Pastor and I will greet you in the lobby.